Hello, my lovely listeners. How are you all doing? I'm your host, Shubhika Singh Chundawat, and you're listening to The Indian Shrink. So today I'm attaching an episode of a podcast done by Ronak Foundation. It's a charitable trust based in India, Haryana. They work for upliftment and empowerment of women and underprivileged children. Their major focus is on financial literacy, mental health counseling, career counseling, women empowerment, and welfare of underprivileged children, as mentioned before. So I had done this episode with them last year on Mental Health Day. So I thought it would be a great bonus episode for my listeners, as the topic of the podcast was on men's mental health, which is a rarely discussed topic, especially in South Asian cultures and specifically in Indian context. So I would love for you to listen to the entire podcast and share your feedback, and stay tuned to The Indian Shrink for more.
Hello, Team Ronaki welcomes you to this podcast series. I'm your host, Ishwarya Tiwari, and it's an honor for me to introduce and welcome the guest of this episode, Ms. Shubhika Singh. She is a RCI licensed clinical psychologist and psychotherapist and has been treating psychiatric and non-psychiatric clients since the last 5 years. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us.
Thank you, Ishwara. It's my pleasure.
It's a pleasure that you took your time out from your busy schedule to help us in our charitable endeavor. So basically, today we are going to have a discussion on the topic which is not discussed as such in our society specifically. It's about the mental health issues that are existing in men. So, ma'am, I have a few questions for you regarding this topic. So basically, sure. Both men and women experience mental health difficulties, but surveys around the world show that men find it really difficult to open up about their mental health issues. So according to you, ma'am, what could be the reason behind men being so tight-lipped about their issues? And is it just societal norms that they are bothered about, or is there some kind of a reluctant behavior that is keeping them from speaking out in front of anyone?
Okay, so first of all, Ishwara, I'm so glad that you brought this topic up. I mean, you very rightly pointed out, this is a topic which is very, very prevalent, but yet the most hushed topic. I mean, nobody really acknowledges men's mental health or their issues, their concerns, because like you said, it's a product of both culture, society, and I think also something to do with upbringing and learning, so which in turn becomes more of an internalized trait. So definitely it's at a larger scale, if you look at it from a larger perspective, it's to do with how society, and it's not just in the Indian context, I think it's all over the world. I think as a gender, when we talk about of men, I think they are supposed to be the ones who are less emotional and, you know, more problem focused. I mean, they are more solution focused, if I can put it that way. Yeah. And very, very practical, not so sensitive, and someone who's full of power and machismo and, you know, all of these things. You see these traits, strength with men. Very rarely do we associate things like power and strength to women, you know. And yes, of course, nowadays people have started using these terms for women too, but I'm not sure if it's gotten to the internal understanding of it, if it's been internalized completely, or if it's just still at the beginning stage. So definitely, like I said, it's the culture which is bringing this out, because men are supposed to be a certain way, that there's a narrative that runs that, okay, men are supposed to be like that. And that's something that plays all the time, and you see it in every every little thing. So like from your movies to music to, posters and on the road, or even as simple as language, something like, मर्द का बच्चा है तो कर, और समथिंग लाइक इट्स योर मैन इनफ देन यू डू इट, और या फिर क्या लड़कियों की तरह ऐसे क्यों कर रहा है, एंड अगर आदमी है तो आदमी की तरह लड़, इट्स ऑलमोस्ट लाइक बींग अ वुमन इज यूज एज एन अब्यूज एंड बींग अ मैन इज ऑलमोस्ट ऑलवेज यूज एज समथिंग टू बी प्राउड ऑफ. So I think that's something that plays out here, because then people want to live up to that expectation, because as a child, since that's the message you're getting from everywhere, not just from popular pop culture, of course, popular cinema, pop culture, movies, newspapers, articles, schools, everywhere you're learning this. But at the same time, it's also at home. If, let's suppose the pop culture, so that's why I said I think it becomes a personal trait also somewhere, because that's what learning that's been given to you. When you're at home, you're expected to behave like a boy.
Yes,
or just how it's expected for a woman to behave, like for a girl to behave like a girl, be like this, talk like this, wear these kind of clothes. Similarly for men also, these are very subtle, direct and indirect messages that everyone provides you. At home, right from your mother to your grandparents to your father to your siblings, everyone, says, okay, stop crying, or boys don't cry, or, even something like good and bad. But, okay, a good boy does this and a good bad boy does this. So are you a good boy? Are you a bad boy? Things like that are promoted. अरे ये तो लड़का है, लड़का है तो लड़के तो ऐसे करेंगे ही. एंड समथिंग एज सटल एज, अरे तुम तो लड़के जैसे बिल्कुल नहीं हो, तुम बहुत शांत रहते हो, सो वेरी सटल आई थिंक मैसेजेस आर ऑलवेज गिवन और प्लेड आउट. सम इवन इन क्लोथिंग, इफ अ मैन वेयर्स अ लॉट ऑफ वाइब्रेंट कलर्स, और यू नो सो इट्स ऑलवेज लाइक ओके व्हाई यू वेयरिंग, इवन इफ समबडी विल नॉट से demeaning, but they still have a remark ki, why are you wearing these kind of clothes, this is weird, this is not that's not normative. So that somehow I think wo kahin na kahin internalize ho jata hai, because conditioning ho jati hai. I think since childhood, that's the thing, that's the same repeated message you're getting directly, indirectly, overtly, covertly, subtly, in every form. So I think somewhere down the line, that's what you're learning. And secondly, also observing. I feel very, very strongly you're observing the men in your family. Because as a child, you don't have all your own biases. So what you learn is from the people that already exist. So your elders, that's what you're picking up, that okay, my father does this, my grandfather does this, or my uncle behaves in this way, or my brother does like this, or he acts like this. So the child starts mimicking. It's very common for children to have observational learning. So that's what the child does, and that's how you pick up these messages.
Definitely. Yeah, ma'am, I think you have put it out like in a very detailed manner. So, ma'am, like, this gives, our second question is, like, what can be, the signs that could give us a very clear picture about what's happening with them? Like, what can be, the signs, the first signs that can help in deciding whether men are also facing some illnesses or some issues or anything like that?
True. So like I said in my first, I think in the first question, I didn't address the part where I was supposed to tell you that yes, so mental illness can be common, but again, so because of the messages the child is picking up, or the youth is picking up, your male youth is picking up, they will never address that, okay, because it's a sign of weakness. To have a mental illness, to have some mental issues, some sort of stress is a sign of weakness. So but that doesn't mean that it will not happen. If you can deny its presence, but it still can. It has. It's just like anything else. It's like a cold. I mean, it's as simple as everybody. Sabko zukham lagta hai. So aapko bhi lagega at some point in your life, because life is full of ups and downs and all kinds of challenges. So you will feel or react in a certain way, but that's not how the society perceives it.
Yes.
So because of that. the symptoms that we see in men are very, very covert.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not overt. So if you see, if you what you know of mental illness or what you know of mental issues or psychological issues or concerns,
mm-hmm.
then you probably, I think mostly people know about the overt symptoms. When I say overt, that is like outrightly there.
Mm-hmm.
Something like, you know, ki achha depression mein ki sadness hoga,
mm-hmm.
ya phir किसी से बात करने का मन नहीं होगा, होपलेसनेस होगी, भूख कम हो जाएगी, नींद ज्यादा आएगी, यू नो, थिंग्स लाइक दैट. दीज आर द ओवर्ट साइंस एंड सिम्टम्स. बट देन समटाइम्स देयर आर आल्सो कोवर्ट सिम्टम्स, एंड द मेन व्हाट इज मोस्टली कॉमनली सीन इज दैट दे डोंट डिस्प्ले ओवर्ट सिम्टम्स एंड दे ओनली शो कोवर्ट सिम्टम्स. नाउ व्हेन आई सी कोवर्ट, दैट मीन्स इट्स इंटरनलाइज्ड, और दे आर हिडन. दैट्स व्हाट दे आर हिडन, बिकॉज those symptoms are basically actually the defense that the person is using against those symptoms or traits.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be anything, as like you ask, what would those symptoms look like? It can be as simple as self-medication. It can be something like drug or alcohol dependence.
Yes,
it can be something mm-hmm. as acting out behavior or withdrawal, or
mm-hmm.
it can be womanizing behavior.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
can be any of these. So mm-hmm. And if you notice, all the symptoms that I've just noted down, listed, they all are the symptoms that we generally just associate with men.
Yeah.
Achha, the aadmi hai to, matlab, you know, he will of course enjoy, he will engage in alcohol, or he will, you know, have multiple affairs,
yeah,
or
yeah.
he will, you know, have some sort of anger. Agar khun garam nahi hoga, to fir kya fayda? You know, these
mm-hmm.
are the narratives here. Or, you know, that withdrawal for that. Okay, achha, aadmi hai, that's why he doesn't talk all the time. That's why he's quiet and he
yeah.
just observes. The brooding
yeah.
man, you know, that's so romanticized, you know, in our
yeah,
society.
Yeah. Hmm.
But sadly, that's a sign of some sort of mental concern, mental issue. I'm not saying that all the people who display these symptoms have that mental illness, but there's definitely some sort of stress at some level in their life. There is some sort of, you know, some sort of thing that is bothering them, because of which they are presenting it in their, otherwise a person who's happy and healthy would also show that in their actions. They wouldn't need to constantly self-medicate themselves or look for behaviors that are compensating in some nature, for example, womanizing or, you know, alcohol or drug dependence or acting out in some way, like abusing someone, violence.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't need that. They wouldn't retreat themselves. They would like to talk openly. So I think that answers, I think, your question.
Yeah, definitely. I think in a very clear way. Okay.
Yeah.
So, ma'am, 1 in 7 Indians are affected by this mental health issues and other related problems. And
yeah.
in a research stated by the Indian Council of Medical Research, 197 million Indians experienced mental health problems in 2017 alone.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the mental health of men, this situation tends to get a little more graver, as their issues are like completely undocumented and unreported sometimes, which
Correct.
Means that sometimes they just are reluctant to seek any treatment for it. So according to you, what can be the reason for men having such a harder time in comparison to women to, you know, seek treatment for these illnesses?
Correct. So, like, very rightly, like you pointed out, the ICMR's number and the percentage and the research. Now, we have to be mindful that these researches are based on only the data of the patients or clients that are actually reporting the illness, that are coming to the hospital setting or to the therapist. Half of the people, or in fact more than half of the population, doesn't even show up. Right, they don't even find out, and I think majority of that population would be of male, like you said. So that male illness or male issues completely go unreported, but that doesn't mean, like I said, that they are not there. They are definitely there. The major reason for that is definitely the stigma of being unmanly.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, and like I said, that the, you know, the. It's also to do with the problems that we think are typically male, you know, like we think that, okay, someone who's having difficulty with intimacy, or, you know, is a workaholic or is an alcoholic or has abusive behavior or rage issues, we say that, okay, that's normal because that's a man. That's just, okay, he's just a little hot-blooded man. He's an angry young man, or, you know, things like that. we never try to get to the root of it, that okay, this could be just a reaction of something else, and that is why the person is choosing to act out in this manner. So I think that's the major reason. Major reason is definitely the stigma and the narrative that people want to stick to. When I say people, I'm referring to men here.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for men to confront their fears.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult because in the society, if they confront, and it's not just a problem at men, you know, I feel mm-hmm. it's we have to take responsibility as women or other genders also to sort of accept that it's not just a one gender problem. It's definitely everyone has their stake in this. Everyone mm-hmm. has a contribution in this.
Mm-hmm.
So if a man chooses to open up and cry, how many women would be comfortable to embrace that man
mm-hmm.
or embrace the man's weaknesses, so to speak?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, yes.
We will get uncomfortable because we have never learned to deal with a man who's sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
We've never learned to deal with a man who opens up about his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have seen it. So it's mm-hmm. not that this toxic masculinity is just present in men. It is definitely also internalized by women.
Yes,
it is something that we are also, you know, something that we are also promoting or taking forward. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's a responsibility at both males, females, and other genders. I think it's a universal responsibility for
mm-hmm.
us to help men open up.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yes. Okay, ma'am. So, like, as we all observed the COVID-19 pandemic and everything, due to this, I think, in fact, everyone, like, be it the research outlets or the hospitals, everyone's saying that mental health issues have significantly risen during this period. So, like, it is very understandable that it's because of the loss of work and some financial constraints during this time, and as we all know, men are just like they are more inclined towards this kind of a depression, because obviously they are expected to work, and according to our society, men are expected to work while women are expected to stay at home. So somehow due to these roles, due to these roles that are existent in our society, these issues are also increasing at a huge pace. So what I'm asking is, why society is like still ignoring the stigma that surrounds mental health of men, that holds them from seeking any kind of a help from anyone? What's the role of the society here as such?
The role of society is something I've already mentioned. I think at a universal level, all of us have to come together to help men be more sensitive and be more open towards accepting help and seeking help.
Yeah.
But that's a very larger question. Why is the society not changing? Or, you know, why is the society still not promoting, mental health services or access or speaking of mental health services as a positive sign? It's a very, very, I think it's to do, like I said, it's completely permeated into every sector or every aspect of our lives, not just at the policy level. I think the changes have to come from right from top to bottom. It's right from at home when a child is born. I think that's when the change should start. And also at the larger level, at a government level, policy level, also changes are supposed to happen where mental health checkups or mental health awareness should be made mandatory in every government, non-government organization.
Mm-hmm.
So even though government says that they have these policies or they have these, these facilities available for the people, but they are not marketed enough or they are not out there. So half of the population doesn't know, or half of the employees don't, they are not aware that this is something that can be sought, or this is something that is normal. So first, I think the first step has to come at normalization, and then eventually also promotion, because I think the more they see that they are promoting it, the more the message will spread. It's as simple as, something like Swachh Bharat Abhiyan. Now everybody knows about Swachh Bharat Abhiyan, but how many people, government has not started at, okay, of course they've definitely started, but it's not so publicized that it's not marketed in such a large scale that it should become normal at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to here add is a point that also at as an individual, I feel as a man, if someone is listening to this podcast, I feel like you should also become comfortable with your own fears. I think, you know, the whole idea that we promote courage, we promote strength,
mm-hmm.
I serve, you know, in such a large way, and we say that, okay, men should be strong. I agree that, okay, everybody should be strong, but I also agree that strength comes from accepting your vulnerability. Strength comes from accepting your own fears. Mm-hmm. There can never be courage if you don't accept your fears. Mm-hmm. You know how they, I would like to use a very, very famous, I think, Mountain Dew or ka line that, you know, dar ke aage jeete.
So
that's simple as that. Yeah. That, you know, you have to embrace your own fears to become strong. And otherwise, you're just being strong at a very superficial level. And embrace your fears. When I say, I don't mean that, okay, climb a mountain or, jump paragliding karo or something like that. It's as simple as, how confident are you to listen to the views of women in your life? How confident are you to listen to the views of children in your life? You know, it's as a man, you that's the conditioning, or you learn to just listen or regard only your views or a fellow or a man or elderly man. You don't listen. How often are you listening to your partners? How often are you listening to the children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think, achi bachcha hai, you know, what will he or she know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, my wife, she just stays at home. What does she know about working outside? What does she know about the pressures of the world?
Yes.
But she may not know about the exact issue, but she definitely still brings a perspective which you lack. So how often are you willing to take on that perspective? How often are you willing to, you know, just listen to it, even if it's against yours? So I think that's something that needs to change. I think when that starts happening, and that's a very difficult process, again, I say that it's not easy. So I think when that starts happening, I think the change will begin.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, ma'am. So, one last question to you. Like the conversation we just had about mental health issues, like they were kind of subjected to, you know, straight heterosexual men who are, you know, working in India as such.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, like, we do have homosexual population also in our society, which is like very closeted,
mm-hmm.
even though teenagers and youth, you know, they have tried to normalize this fact. But at the end of the day, we still, our society still isn't like very accepting of these people as a part of their own society as well. So what I wanted to ask is the fact that they also go through like trans men and homosexual men and in like any, you have these men who are a part of the LGBTQIA plus society. So like, how do we tackle, like how do we look at them as, you know, as different individuals, and how do we become like more acceptant of them, because they also are like quite they have been like very outspoken about that also, but I think there is like lack of knowledge about that in the society as such.
Again, I think it just boils down to the same thing. I think it has to start from the root level to the larger level, both society level, and again at a larger level, there is really still not, till now, I think the government is not accepting of the LGBTQIA community, and you know, it's still not, you know, so I think when our society at large becomes inclusive, the change will, then that's the time when we start working on the change.
Mm-hmm.
But as you rightly pointed out, it's not, these issues that you just talked about are just not plaguing the heterosexual men. This is, or the, you know, the normative, you know, he, male, you know, the gender that we identify as, you know, someone who's a male. It's not just identifying with these problems are not just with them. It's also with trans men. It's also with queer men. It's also with queer women, for that matter, even with, you know, because I think why we very easily say that these issues are only plaguing men, because firstly, because male and female as a gender are more accepted and normalized. And secondly, it gets easier for us to define ki acha male ka role ye hai, gender role ye hai, and female ka role ye hai.
Yeah.
When it comes to the queer community, the TGNC population, transgender and non-binary population, I think the problem becomes that we don't have those defined roles. Because again, gender and sexuality are all on the spectrum, right? I mean, it's just as rigid as we try to portray it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the concept of fluidity comes into place, it becomes difficult for people to fathom that, achha, we can't put them in boxes.
Yeah.
So if we can't put them in boxes, then how do we define ki unka role kya hai?
Mm-hmm.
Because for male and female, they've already put them in boxes, so it gets easier to define their roles. But when gender fluidity with non-binary population, I think that becomes a difficulty. So that is why also I think we don't address ke ye issues unko bhi hote hain. Definitely, these issues are very, very prevalent with them also. And I think the stigma needs to be worked at both levels. I think first for them, I think the issue gets much more larger and much more complicated because firstly, the acceptance is not there. Abhi toh unko at a like, we not even accept, we completely deny their presence. We don't even acknowledge their presence. I think it has to first start with that and then the rest of the stuff like policy changes and laws and starting at the root level and everything. And most importantly, also changing our own thought process and language of addressing people and everything.
Mm-hmm.
From there, the subtle things work, the popular culture, the films, everything has to become then inclusive of these things and these facts. And that's when with the non-binary population, I think it becomes more complicated than it already is with, with other genders, the more heteronormative genders, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the issue here. Yeah.
Yes. So, all right, ma'am. Thank you so much for being a part of our podcast. It was great hearing from you. And I think it's an honor for us that we got to learn so many things from you today. And thank you so much to all the listeners for listening all the way through. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Team Ronike hopes that you could take some valuable information from this episode and never stop changing for the better and for the good of the society. Thank you so much, ma'am. And
thank you so much to Team Ronike, and thank you so much, Aishwarya, for having me. It was a pleasure. And actually, I'm very fortunate to be doing this. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, ma'am. It's me, Aishwarya, signing off.